But if God's holy wisdom is foolish to men, he must have seemed out of his mind. For even his family said he was mad, and the priest said a demon's to blame. But God in the form of this angry young man could not have seemed perfectly sane. We in our foolishness thought we were wise. He played the fool and he opened our eyes. When we in our weakness believed we were strong, he became helpless to show we were wrong. So we follow God's own fool, for only the foolish can tell.
Died that he rose with our power in his hands, with that same power. Lifetime, Lord, not only our salvation for this lifetime, but we're thankful for the life that is to come, your promise to return, Jesus, to take us home to be with you. We're thankful that you're preparing a place for us, Lord, and we give you the praise for you preparing that place for us. Help us to be ready. Help us to be looking. Help us to be expecting your return, Lord, and help us to be living as the children of God, as we wait for your return. We thank you for this time this morning, Lord, and your word. We pray that you would help us to receive your truth and walk in that truth as you remind us of things, as you bring some clarity to some things, Lord, as you mold us and shape us into the image of Christ as we submit ourselves to you. Lord, may you be exalted today. In Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. I want to remind us of and share that I know we're collecting up things for the book bag. Excuse me, one second. Yeah, just get me here, Kiwan. Yeah. All right. Yeah, we're taking up the collection for the school supplies. So you can start bringing them in, and you can start putting them in the vestibule in the back. Just bring them, put them back there. We'll collect them up, get them sorted out, and get them over to the school at the end of the month. So we thank you for your thoughtfulness and your willingness to get involved and become engaged. in that effort, you know, to help out Tallala School there. So you can start bringing them in, put them in the back, and we'll get them all sorted out. Amen. 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 All right. It's great to be here today. It is. And we are looking into the Word of God. We'll read for our hearing from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, although we'll touch on some other verses. But in our journey through thinking through the Holy Spirit, who he is and what he does and his power towards us and his working in our lives, we'll read this morning from John, Gospel of John, chapter 14. And we'll read verses 16 and 17. John 14, verse 16. Jesus is talking and he says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. Amen. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit being our helper. And our objective is to live every day. Every day. With the confidence that God the Holy Spirit is present with us at all times. We want to live with that confidence every day. I don't think we always do. I can say that for sure because I don't always. Sometimes things get in the way in our thinking and we get clouded in our minds and we don't think about the Holy Spirit, circumstances, ourselves, people can overshadow the truth that God is always with us. But I know as I'm growing in the Lord, I know that God is always with us regardless of what's going on, regardless of what I feel, regardless of what I think. The Spirit is teaching me that he's always with us no matter what's going on in our lives. We're not always cognizant of that fact. We don't always live that way, think that way, even believe that way. But the Bible says that that is true. And that's the way the Lord wants us to live as his children, as though the Holy Spirit is with us all the time and that he is present to help us all the time. I want to remind us of a few things today. Thing number one is this, a reminder from last week. The Holy Spirit helps us by going before the Father in our behalf. Remember, the Holy Spirit helps us by going before the Father in our behalf. And he does that with perfect knowledge and understanding of what the Father's will is, what the Father wants to do in our lives. And he intercedes for us in a way that exactly corresponds to the need of the moment, the needs that we have in our lives. And I'll say again, the Holy Spirit doesn't have to play guessing games. Like we guess, we wonder, we really don't know. We see only one side, but the Spirit of God sees four-dimensional. Okay, that fourth dimension being beyond our thinking. He sees what we can't see. He knows what's going on in us, and he knows the Father's will. And it just struck me again and struck me to reiterate this point this week that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with that perfect knowledge, with that perfect understanding of what's going on in my life and in your life. And he's interceding according to the need so that the Father's will is done. He intercedes for us so that, and I wanted to remind us of this, that he intercedes for us according to Romans 8:28 and 29. And 30, he intercedes for us so that we become more like Jesus.
we become more like Jesus. We have to keep in mind the ultimate end goal, because otherwise I find that it's easy to become frustrated. We become frustrated because we imagine in our minds, you know, what God wants to do, or when something happens and it's not what we want done, then we can become frustrated and bewildered and disappointed. But we have to keep in mind what God is ultimately doing. And the Father's ultimate will is for our lives that we would be conformed to the image of Christ. That's ultimately, no matter what is happening in your world, that is the ultimate of what he is doing. That we be conformed to the image of Jesus and experience the life-giving, life-changing power of the Spirit in our lives. That's what he wants to do, regardless of what's going on. And his will is that we be transformed. Whether we think it or understand it all, he wants us to be transformed, because we come into the Christian life with a lot of baggage and a lot of ungodly, unspiritual thinking. We have a worldview. We have a way that we look at life, the way that we do life, a way that we think. And it does not necessarily line up with the way that children of God think or should think. And his will is that we be transformed, that our minds be renewed to think like Jesus, to talk like Jesus, to love like Jesus, and to serve him, God, like Jesus did when he was on this earth. That's what he's moving us to. That's what he wants to happen in us. And the Holy Spirit intercedes to move us along this continuum. And it is a continuum. It's a process. A process. It's filled with twists and turns, surprises, disappointments, but also joys unspeakable. And we praise him for that. But we must remember that in the midst of all of these, the Holy Spirit is indeed interceding before our loving Father to help us out. We may often, in the midst of these things, ask the question, why? You ever ask that? Something was going on in your life. Why? Why is this? Why is this happening to me? Why am I here? Why am I going through this? This hard time in my life right now. Why did this person treat me so badly? Why didn't I get this job? Or why are my children acting like they are somebody else's children? You ever ask yourself that question? Yeah, we have. We have. I've discovered that we may never know the answer to some of these questions, but we can know this. You know, we can spin our wheels trying to figure out stuff, but we may never know. And we have to grow to the point that there's some things that just don't get answered. But we can know this. We can know that in all these things, God is busy at work in our behalf. He's always busy at work in our behalf for his glory. And the Holy Spirit is always helping us, interceding for us. And we can know that the Father is working in the midst of everything. That's what Romans 8:28, and we know that God works all things together for the good of those who love him and are the called according to his purpose. For those he foreknew, 29, for those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. He's always working things out to good, for the good. And I was thinking this week, I like, there's several ways that 28 is translated, but I like the translation that says, because we know that God works all things together. He's working all the stuff in our lives, some way putting together the quilt of our lives, and each piece from his perspective makes sense. From our perspectives, it doesn't make sense. But from his sovereign perspective, it makes sense. And what the Holy Spirit is doing is he's interceding for us, even though we don't understand it, we're confused, we're angry, we're bothered, we're frustrated. The Holy Spirit is interceding, working before the Father, and the Father's working, and Jesus is working. Because in 8:34, it says Jesus intercedes for us. So we have the triple threat of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit working in our behalf so that we become conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. We need to know that. And we need to know that the Father is indeed working. And he uses all these things to help us to become like Jesus Christ. It may hurt. It may hurt. But remember that the Holy Spirit is praying for you. Remember. It may be hard to stay in it. But remember that the Holy Spirit is interceding for you. It may not make any sense to you at all right now. May not make any, absolutely no sense whatsoever. But remember that the Holy Spirit is praying for you. And it makes sense to him, because God doesn't always pull us out of the frying pan and make it easy like we want it to be. No, he lets us stay right there, because we generally learn more when we go through something. And when you go through the fire, that's when you really learn. When it's hard, when you do hard things and have to go through hard things, that's when you learn. But it's interesting. It's interesting how human nature can be, no, we try to go the easy route. We take the path of least resistance. But God doesn't always send us through the path of least resistance, especially when he is conforming us to the image of Christ. Because when he wants to do that, he takes us and he uses those hard things to shape us and mold us. May not make any sense, but remember, please remember that it makes sense to the Holy Spirit, because he is what? He's the omniscient one. And he understands all things. And he knows what the Father is doing. He knows, we don't always, but he knows what the Father is doing. And he knows that good will come out of it if you don't give up. If you don't give up. Can't give up. You can't give up on God. You can't give up on the process. You got to trust God in the process. In the process. In the midst of it. There were some times, I'll say this as an aside, and then we'll give our life lesson here. I had some times when I wanted to jump out the frying pan. I mean, it was super hot. God turned up the heat. It was hot. It was really hot. But I had to stay. And I even realize now, as I reflect back, it wasn't me pulling up myself by my bootstraps and staying in the heat. No, it was God. It was God helping me to stay there. If you don't stay in the heat, the Lord can't burn off the dross. You got to stay there. Our life lesson here simply is, because God is for us, we should pray with fervent confidence, knowing that the Holy Spirit helps us in our prayers by interceding for us. You know, knowing this motivates me, and it should motivate us to pray with more fervent confidence. Man, you mean to tell me the Holy Spirit is interceding for me? You mean to tell me he's helping me? He's taking my mumble jumble, and he's taking it before the Father? He's taking all this stuff that's happening in my life before the Father. Yeah, well, that's going to cause me to be on my knees more and to pray more fervently and with more confidence. With more confidence. The Holy Spirit wants to bring about the will of the Father in our life. That's what he wants, more than what you wanted, more than what I wanted. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us so that we are again changed into the image of Christ. so that we can be all that he created us to be. We talk about being all that we can be. Well, you can't be that without God working in your life. And you can't, God ain't working in your life outside of the things that he's allowing to happen in your life. God wants us to be all that we can be in Christ, so that we can reach our full potential in Christ as children of God. That's what God wants. God is for you. He wants to do that. Why? So that we can praise his holy name. Praise his holy name and give him the thanks. I imagine the Holy Spirit taking our feeble attempts to talk with Father God, listening to our moaning and groaning. You ever moan and groan in prayer? Spirit of God is right there. He's right there listening to our moaning, our groaning. And I just imagine him unraveling our heart's cry before the Lord. He takes the stuff that's all wound up, all bound up in us, and he unravels it before the Father. And knowing that he knows exactly what I need and exactly what others need that I'm praying for, that should give us an unreserved boldness to say, Lord, not my will, but your precious will be done. Because he knows what's best. He knows what's best for you. He knows what's best for your kids. He knows what's best for your husband, for your wife, for your enemies. He knows what's best. So take them before the Lord. You don't have to try to deal with them. You take them before the Lord. You cry out to the Lord, and the Holy Spirit takes care of it. The other point I wanted to remind us of does come from John 14, and it's this, mainly, that the Holy Spirit helps us by being with us all the time. He helps us, again, by being with us all the time. And I'm hoping we have that sense, that confidence, that assurance that he is with us. He helps us by being with us all the time. And that's what it's saying in verse 16. He may abide with you forever, and that he may be with you forever. Verse 17, Jesus said, because he abides with you and will be in you. Jesus wanted them to know, and he wants us to know, that the Holy Spirit helps us and will help us and can help us because he is with us all the time, wherever we are. See, the disciples were worried, because Jesus was talking about leaving them, that I'm going away. My time has come. I'm going to the cross, and I'm going back to be with the Father. But they didn't understand the import of that. They didn't understand. And Jesus tried to explain it to them, to say, hey, it's better if I go away. Because if I go away, then the Father's going to send the Holy Spirit to be with you. But their source of sorrow was the thought of Jesus leaving them. His response was that there was no need to be sorrowful because the Father was going to send them another helper. He said, yeah, I'm going away, but I am going to send you, the Father is going to send you another helper that he may be with you forever. The Holy Spirit is another helper. Jesus calls the Holy Spirit another helper. Depending on the translation that you have, helper, counselor, advocate, they all point to the same thing. And that is that the Spirit of God helps us. He intercedes for us. He goes before the Father in our behalf. He makes the case like a lawyer in a courtroom. That's the Holy Spirit. When Jesus said another, he meant someone just like him. Not him, but someone just like him. See, Jesus was saying that the Holy Spirit would relate to them just like he had related to them. He would be there for them just like he was there for them. He would help them just like he did. See, the Holy Spirit is person. He is a person. And he relates to us in a personal way just like Jesus did. Now, I can't explain that. I don't even think I can help you to understand it. I think that's a work of the Spirit, too, that we really believe what it says, because you can't explain the Godhead. We can proclaim the truth of what the Scripture says. And that's what I'm duty-bound to do, is proclaim the truth without getting people confused by trying to explain this out. I won't do that. But I will say I understand this, that the Bible presents the Holy Spirit as a person. He will come. He will help you. He will guide you. He will lead you. He will comfort you. All personal pronouns. The Holy Spirit is a person, and he relates to us in a personal way, just like Jesus did. One who would do life with us. He would be there right alongside of us. He will be, and Jesus said, he will be an intimate part of your life, and he will never leave you. That's what Jesus wanted to drill home in the minds and the hearts of those that he was speaking to here, and those of us who are here today. And see, our life lesson is this. We must remember that the Holy Spirit is a person who relates to us. And he's not an impersonal force that empowers us. There's some religions that talk about the Holy Spirit being the force of God, not the third person of the Trinity. But we don't believe that. I don't believe that. You may believe that. Maybe that's the way you saw it. But it's not the fact, not according to what I see the Word of God having to say about the Holy Spirit. He is person, just like you and I have. And we're not fleshing it out in detail here, but he has intelligence. He can think. He can reason. He has emotions. Those are characteristics of person. The Holy Spirit has those as well. He is the helper, the paraclete, or the parakletos, the advocate. He's the advisor, the pleader, the one who comes before the Father in our behalf. And if you've been around in the Word of God and studied, you've heard him called the paraclete. Well, that's from the original. That's the original term that this helper, advisor, or advocate comes from. The Holy Spirit is another counselor, another comforter, like Jesus. And Jesus tells the disciples that the comfort and the counseling that they received from him, he says, while I was with you, it's the same thing that you will receive from the Holy Spirit, because he will be with you. And he is going to be in you. He will be the one who comes alongside of you to do that comforting, that admonishing, and that teaching, that convicting, okay, and encouraging and building you up. He's going to come alongside, not be with you from a distance, but he's going to be right there. A paralegal works alongside a lawyer, right? You've heard of paralegals, right? A paralegal works alongside of a lawyer to help him or her do the work that's required to do. You know a paramedic. A paramedic is a trained person, knowledgeable in the field of medicine. And that person is able to give aid to people, medical attention, until they come under the care of a doctor. Paramedic, para, alongside. The Holy Spirit is the paraclete, the one who comes alongside of us, comes alongside to provide us the spiritual care that he sees that we need. With his omniscience, he sees exactly what we need. He speaks for us to the Father, and he speaks the truth of God to us. He speaks for us, and he speaks to us. He speaks to you. You may not be listening. I may not listen all the time. I'm convinced of that. We don't always listen to the voice of God because we're thinking a different way, something that's contrary to the word, so we don't want to hear it. Note the promise that Jesus makes again is that the Holy Spirit would be with them forever. This means that he doesn't come and go. The Spirit of God doesn't come and go. You know, sometimes we pray, Holy Spirit, come and be with us. I understand what's being said there, but we don't need to pray that. You understand that, right? Because if what Jesus said is true, which he says that the helper, that he, the Father, is going to send you another helper, that he may be with you forever. And then in verse 17, you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. So in some way, shape, or form, the Holy Spirit is not only with us, he is in us. He is part of our lives. Does that mean he's taking up physical residence in our lives? I don't know that it means that. But this is what I do know, that if I were to draw a circle, and that circle represented the life of Tony Banks as a child of God, the Holy Spirit is in that circle, and he is always in that circle because that's my life. And the Holy Spirit is a part of my life at all times. He will be in you. He will be a part of your life at all times. He doesn't come and go. He is here. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here with us. Help me to sense and to know your presence. Because your word tells me that you are already here. Lord, whatever is in my way, whatever is in my heart and mind, whatever obstacles are keeping me from experiencing and having that confidence that you're here with me, Lord, do that. Help me with that. The Holy Spirit doesn't come and go. Now, in the Old Testament, we get that teaching. We see where it seems like before the church age, when in Acts, when the Holy Spirit came and he was with them at all time. In the Old Testament, we saw the Holy Spirit coming and empowering people. And then in some way, you know, he wasn't in them all the time, if you will. But in the New Testament, it's the church age. It's different. The Holy Spirit is with us all the time. He's with the children of God all the time. This verse 17 says he's the Spirit of truth. And the world cannot receive him because it does not see him nor know him. The world cannot understand this. People who don't know Christ can't understand this. Just like the writer of Hebrews says, by faith we understand that God created something out of nothing. By faith we have the understanding. That means we can take it apart, we can analyze it, and we can communicate it so that because we totally understand it. No, but we understand, we accept it. And it's a reality to us by faith on the basis of what the Lord, Word of God has to say. There is no place for the Holy Spirit in the hearts and minds of those who refuse to repent and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, this is nonsense to you. There's no place in their minds for a triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. No, that doesn't make sense. No, it doesn't make sense. But in some way, the Word of God communicates. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and we accept it by faith. There's no place for God living in your life all the time and teaching you truth for the one who has not accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. But there is for the redeemed of the Lord. Are there any redeemed of the Lord in the house today? Well, guess what? Jesus was telling them, and he's telling us, that the Holy Spirit is here right now. He's right here right now. And he is always here, always here to help us and lead us into truth, because truth sets the believer free. Man, I wish I would have known this when I was younger and accepted it when I was younger. I really do. We talk about, well, I don't have any regrets. I do, because the reality of this, and I know God is sovereign. I know God, but I believe the Lord was calling me to accept him years before I did. I was just hard-headed and full of myself. But I thank God for his patience, because this is a dynamite truth in my eyes, that God is here right now. And that in the person of the Holy Spirit, he is always here, always, to help us and lead us into truth, because that truth sets us free. We can be free from the shackles of erroneous, godless thinking that binds us to a life of fear, a life of sin, a life of living merely for this world. No, Jesus said the Holy Spirit is with you, and he'll lead you into truth that sets you free from being earthbound in your thinking. See, the Holy Spirit is with us all the time, and he helps us by lifting our thinking to the truth. And that truth is borne out, and we'll talk about this in the future. But that truth is borne out, and it's experienced. He lifts our thinking to the truth of the gospel and what it means for us in daily living, in our daily living. What difference is it making in your life that the Holy Spirit is in your life? What is the difference? Can you tell? Can I tell? We should be able to. I'm afraid that we don't really know and understand the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the help that the Holy Spirit provides us in bringing this truth to bear in our lives today. Not just when we go to heaven. We go into heaven, those who have given their life to Christ. We go in there. But what about now? What about now? I think there can be a great chasm between what we read in the Bible and what is lived out today, moment by moment. Yeah, I love the Lord. He heard my cry. Jesus is the head of my life. But then when we get out there in a big bad world and big bad circumstances and the challenges and temptations come, where is it? There can be a gulf. I know, my friends. I've been there. I've been in that place of ignorance, in that place of having a knowledge of the word and yet not the experience of God's transformative work in my life. Yeah, I'm still growing, but by God's grace, I'm making some strides. They might be baby steps, but I can guarantee you this, the Lord is working. And I'm listening more and more the older I get. Because I walked a long road of darkness because of my sin. But the Holy Spirit has helped me to learn to seek truth and to walk in the truth and to know that he'll teach me the truth, not error. And yet, to know that walking in truth is doable only by his presence and power. Jesus said, the Father is going to send you the Holy Spirit, and he's going to lead you into truth. And then we find out in the word that he helps us to walk in that truth, because we can't walk in it on our own. See, some people are just thinking is so skewed that we actually think that we can do this on our own. You can't. Give yourself a break. You can't. I'm afraid that we don't understand the power of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, of our Lord Jesus, and the power of his resurrection from the dead, and the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Lord says, we have all of this available to us as children of God. Ephesians, I want to read that quickly. Ephesians 1, 18 through 20. Paul was writing, he says, listen, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. That your eyes will be opened up. Not new revelation. We ain't talking about no new revelation. There's new illumination of the truth. But new revelation? God has given us his revelation in his word. There is an enlightening and illuminating of our carnal minds. And Paul said, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is not our inheritance, his inheritance of us, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. The surpassing, his surpassing greatness, the superabounding greatness of his power towards us who believe. And these are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. Yes, Lord, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. We understand, and I'm not going through this word by word, but I hope we get the gist of the truth. And that is that through the presence of the Holy Spirit, the power of the resurrection, right? Because we understand he's talking about the resurrection, right? Verse 20, that same power that he brought about, that he used when he raised him from the dead, when Jesus got up from the grave. The Jesus that we celebrate when we come to First Sunday and we take communion. That power that we remember that got our Lord up from the, because we're not celebrating a dead Savior. We're celebrating a risen Savior. And when we come to this table, we come remembering that he shed his blood for us, but he got up from the grave. He got up from the grave. And what the Bible is saying, my brothers and sisters, is that that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the power that is available by the presence of the Holy Spirit to you and to me. And we need to understand that with God with us is about God using his awesome power to provide what we need to be transformed, to be molded into a people who praise him, and a people who live on this earth for him by his mighty power towards us. It's not just about us going to heaven, my friends. It is ultimately, that's our goal. But what about right now? What about the power of the resurrection right now in our lives? What about confidence that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we can ask or imagine according to his power that is at work in us. What about that? See, you may lack confidence. Anybody ever lack confidence? Amen. Amen. You may lack confidence. That's all right. Stop fighting with yourself. The Holy Spirit can help you. The Holy Spirit can help you, child of God. Right now. We lack the ability to love as God intends. You can't love me like God wants you to love me. And I can't love you like God wants me to love you apart from the help of the Holy Spirit. You know, that it's impossible. I'm thoroughly convinced that it's impossible. That without God helping us to get over our lack of confidence and to deal with our lack of love, you can't do it. I can't do it. But I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And the Holy Spirit being with us, he is our helper. He helps us. I'm a witness to you. How in the world are you going to love your enemy? How are you going to do that? You can't do that. You may mouth the words, but you really don't do it. Not without the help of the Holy Spirit. You can come up to me and say, I love you, Pastor, and you really don't do it. But the Holy Spirit can help us. We may lack wisdom. We may struggle with fear and doubt. But the Holy Spirit is the power who helps us with all of this. All of my help. All of my help comes from the Lord. All of my needs that I'm possessing. All of my help comes from the Lord. See, you may have a bad attitude. Anybody have a bad attitude? You don't have to say amen. I've seen some bad attitudes. Bad attitude. And I'm talking about from people who claim to be children of God. You a child of God. Lord help them. We may have bad attitudes. And sometimes we say, well, that's just the way I am. Yeah, you said it correctly. That's just the way you are. But who are you with the help of the Holy Spirit? Who can you be with the help of the Holy Spirit? See, that's the thing. It's the Spirit of God, and the power of God coming to bear on where we are right now. You may be addicted to something or someone. Now, I know some people can have legitimate chemical imbalances in their minds and whatnot, and some people may need that. But let's say it's not to that extreme, and you're addicted to something. The Spirit of God can set you free. That's what Jesus, he said, I'm coming, I'm giving my life on the cross, I'm going to die and I'm going to get up. And then Paul comes and say that same power which got him up from the grave is available to those who believe. So what addiction do we have that the Lord can't help us with? The Spirit of truth. I need to run on the Spirit of truth. Can set us free. We don't want to be like the people Paul wrote about. That he wrote about. I got to get this in. That he wrote about in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul is writing to Timothy, giving him some instructions on leading the church, being an under-shepherd. And he says, this is something you need to realize, Tim. Realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. Does anyone not think we're living in the last days? Because really, the last days started when Jesus Christ came. And so we've been in the last days, the last 2,000 and some odd years. So we're closer to Christ coming back than we were when Jesus was on this earth. So we are really in the last of the last of days. Because I think what we see here is multiplied in the world. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revelers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God. And then verse 5, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. And I find it instructive. Paul said to Tim, he said, avoid such men as these. He said, these are not the type of people to hang around. Holding to a form of godliness, but denying its power. See, he was saying the power of God should be evident in your life as a child of God. And how? What is that evidence? That you overcome some of this stuff that he talked about. If you're a gossip, you gossip no more. You don't have self-control, you can have self-control. Haters of good, you should love the good. The power of God in our lives through the work of the Holy Spirit. See, we have a lot of the language, but we're shallow on the living. Our life lesson here is this. Through the omnipresent Holy Spirit, we have the inescapable God with us all the time, who helps us to become children of God. We are children of God, but we're becoming. We are, but we're not yet. And the Bible speaks about that. We are, but we're not yet. We cannot avoid God. We cannot get away from him. And he never goes away from his people. There is never a time when the Holy Spirit is not with us, because he is in us as an ever-present part of our lives. He doesn't merely show up, I want to remind us, on occasion and then leave. The Holy Spirit is right there with you wherever you are. He is right with you, and you have his undivided attention. Don't you love that? Even though he cares for all of us at the same time. That's amazing to me. He is here. I'm talking about here, in this place, because his people are here. And I say, as we sing, welcome, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here constantly to help us. Lord, help us. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 27, verse 10, even if my father and mother abandon me. Yeah, I think the psalmist wanted to make it. That's the most extreme case, isn't it? For a father or a mother to abandon a child. To not care for that child like they should and need to be cared for. Not to nurture that child to adulthood. And even in adulthood, right? The psalmist says, even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. Psalm 27, verse 10, that's from the New Living Translation. I say, picture that. Picture that. Picture God holding you close. Are you in a hard place right now? Picture God holding you close. Are you feeling overwhelmed? Picture him holding you close. Picture him right there with you. Now, we don't know what he looks like. But in your holy imagination, God is here. Are you unsure about what the future holds and it has you anxious? Picture God holding you under his everlasting arms. The one who created heaven and earth and all that's in it, holding little old you and little old me. Can we picture that? Holding us in his everlasting arms. Picture him holding you when you think you can't hold on anymore. Can we picture the Lord our God holding us? Because that's what he wants us to see. That he is holding us, that he is with us, and that he is true to his promise, never to leave us, never to forsake us. Won't you bow with me in a word of prayer? Father God, we're thankful today. We're thankful for the presence of the Holy Spirit. We're thankful for the interceding of the Holy Spirit. We're thankful that you're with us, dear Father, through the presence of the Spirit, holding us up, helping us, giving us everything we need, encouraging us, speaking truth to us. I pray, Lord, that you will help us to listen, help us to walk with the confidence that you are with us. Help us, Lord, when we're feeling that you're not, to remember that you are. Help us to live on a basis of truth, not on a basis of how we feel or what we might be thinking in the moment because of the circumstances. Help us to remember that you're true to your word, never to leave us, never to forsake us. Lord, wherever your people might be, someone may not have this confidence of your presence with them. Some may think that it only happens when they come to this building. God, I pray that you would help us to know without a doubt that wherever we are on this earth, whatever we're going through, that you are the God who is always with your people. God, and may that encourage us. May it cause us to submit to you, to trust what you're doing, that you, as our loving God, that you're working, and that you're building us up, that you're reshaping and molding and correcting, building up your people, creating us into a people who knows their God, a people who love you, and a people who live for you and by you on this earth, and the people who praise you because you are the magnificent God who has loved us with an everlasting love. And Father, we thank you that you've shown us that love through Christ. We're careful today as we come to this table to think of him, think of what he did. And Lord, may it not be a mere past experience, past event that we remember. But Lord, may it have a current impact on our lives, that Christ died and that he rose. And that same power is available to us through the presence of your Spirit. We thank you, Lord, and I ask that whatever you need to do, whatever you need to do, Lord, help us to submit to you, that we may give you praise through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Father, if one has never submitted their life to you, may that one yield to your call to become a child of God. And maybe there's one without a church family. May that one yield to your call to submit their life to you. Maybe you're working in us in some way, and you are. May we submit to your call, to your working in us. Lord, we thank you for loving us. We love you. Help us to learn how to love you more through Jesus Christ our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. There might be, I want to extend an invitation, there might be someone who has never given their life to Christ as Lord and Savior. Today, the Lord extends that invitation to you for you to accept his offer of salvation. It requires repentance, repenting of our rejection of Christ, and repenting of our sin, and accepting the fact that he is the God Son who died on the cross for your sins, believing in him, repenting, believing for the forgiveness of your sin. You can do that today and say, Lord, I accept, and I repent and accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of my life. And if you're without a church family, you can make the Agape Fellowship your church family. You can make that decision today. You can make that decision by coming forth, or you can make that decision by sending me an email at tbanks4323@gmail.com. tbanks4323@gmail.com. Let me know. Amen. Amen. Every first Sunday, we take part in the Lord's Supper, and we do this as often as we do it in remembrance of him. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, Paul wrote the church, and he said, in giving them instructions on the Lord's Supper, he said, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. Father, we thank you as we remember Jesus, your one and only Son, and we come to remember his death, and we come to remember that he was buried, but that he got up from the grave. We remember that he shed his blood. And we remember that your word says that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We thank you, Father, that you've given us the righteousness of Christ. We know that we haven't done anything to deserve it, and we never can. We know we can never do anything to measure up
Lord, to your expectation of perfection. But we're thankful for our perfect Savior who gave his life, the perfect Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. And Lord, we come to remember him, remember the punishment that he took from you. Father, we acknowledge that it should have been us, but we know it could not have been because there was only one who was able to go to the cross in our behalf. So we remember with great thanksgiving, Father, yes, the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we remember, too, Father, that he got up from the grave and we're justified, Lord. And we're thankful that there is now no condemnation, yes, for those who are in Christ Jesus. Father, as we eat this bread and drink this juice, we remember what Jesus' death and resurrection means for us. And we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us stand together, sing, be dismissed.
That Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary.
That's on me. I forgot. There's two things I need to do. So you all hang with me for a minute, would you please? We want to welcome Sister Carolyn Hooker. She finished the new members class. And so we want to give her the right hand of fellowship. Amen. If you want to come around, look at that. Come on up, Sister Hooker. The other thing I want to do, I have to finish with her. If you hang with me, if you have to leave, that's fine. But I want to pray. We have some college students starting college this fall, and I want to pray for those that are already there too. So we'll take a few more minutes. So give me a few more minutes as we take them before the Lord in prayer. Can we do that?
Amen. Amen.
You can be seated. Okay, you can be seated. But we're going to ask. I have these memory lapses sometimes. So if you'll go ahead, stand right there. We're going to give her the right hand, the right elbow, right fist bump, or the right high five from a distance. Okay, amen. whatever is your pleasure, we're going to do that and give her a welcome to the Agape Bible Fellowship Church. Let's do that now.
What a fellowship. Leaning, leaning, leaning.
college students, and especially new ones that are going off or starting college. Aris Perry will be headed off to Alabama, A&M, going to college. So we want to lift her up in prayer. And my own blood, Tyler Burnside, he will be headed off. He's local, but he's still heading off into the college jungle. So we want to keep him in your prayers. And we have some that are still there. So we want to pray for them. And I do ask that you be faithful in that, that God's will be done for them as they go off on these campuses and get the philosophies of this age poured into them.
Yes.
I pray that they will remember, that they would remember Christ Jesus crucified, buried, and risen from the grave and what that means in their lives. So let me pray. Let us pray for them. Father God, we come today in Jesus' name, Lord, lifting up your young people to you, Lord Aris and Tyler and others. Lord God, we pray, lifting them up before your throne of grace, and Lord, because you're the God who cares for them. You're the God who knows them. Lord, you've been with them, bringing them to this time in their lives, especially those just starting, Aris and Tyler, 18 years old, Lord, walking off into college campus, Father God. We pray for them. God, our confidence is that you are able to do more than we can ask or imagine. Lord, the parents can't be there. Grandparents can't be there. Aunts and uncles, the church members can't be there. But Father, the Holy Spirit can be there. And so we're praying that they would remember that you're with them and that you haven't left them because they are where they are. Lord, we pray that they would have a mind to walk with you, that they would have a mind to listen to you while they are there. Lord, they are here. They will hear many things. God, we pray that they would hear the truth. We pray that the truth would not be suppressed by them because of what they're hearing and the culture in which they're living in. Father, we pray that Jesus would be lifted up in their minds. We pray that they would have a mind to pray, seek your face. They would have a mind to get in your word. We pray that you would send strong followers of Christ their way to surround them, to build them up, to help them, Lord God. We pray that if they feel like they're being pulled away, Lord, that you would bring them back to center, bring them back to Christ. Help them to remember that your arms are around them, Lord. We pray for them, Father, that you would be the lifter of their heads, that you will help them, build them up, strengthen them. May they be better when they finish and not worse. Father, we pray these things. We thank you for these things, Father, for them. In Jesus' precious name we pray. To you be the glory in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You know who else I just remembered? The Henrys have a grandson that's going away too. Dylan, yes. Dylan is going off to Howard. Yes, Dylan is going off to Howard University. So, I mean, we may not know him by face, but Dylan is going off. And he belongs to the Henrys, to Kim and Chris Wesley. So keep him in your prayers as well. Do so, if you will. Amen? Amen. Let us stand for our benediction. Out of his presence. And as we remember that, may we give him and him all the honor and all the praise now and forevermore of the Church of Jesus Christ together saying, thank you.